The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not say a word in answer to her. His disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning, good morning. Tiny little thought to you for the day. The story of the Canaanite woman is a story that goes out to anyone who knows what it's like to find their prayers met with dead silence. And at one time or another, that's all of us, right? It's the only time in the Bible in which Jesus refuses to act not just once, but twice. Poor woman comes up to Jesus, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David." Met with dead silence. He doesn't say even a word in answer to her. Interesting little point there. The actual words that the Canaanite woman uses when she speaks to Jesus, as written here in the Gospel of Matthew, she says, "Kyrie eleison." It's the actual word, "Have pity on me, O Lord." Personally, it's one of the reasons why I begin every Mass by saying, it's one of many times in which those literal words show up verbatim here in the Scriptures. "Have pity on me, Lord." And then she says, "Lord, come and help me." And Jesus replies, "It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." That doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? I assure you that it is, right? I assure you that it is. A couple little things to help us understand. First of all, we know what was said, but we don't know how it was said. It's as though we have the words, but not the music, all right? Second thing is, St. Augustine, as well as several other of the church fathers, comment and help us understand this passage by saying, Jesus has every intention of helping this woman and already knows exactly what he's going to do for her, but he needs her cooperation first. And this is a really important thing to remember for our spiritual growth. The God who redeemed you without your consent will not save your soul without your cooperation. And sometimes, when God appears to do nothing in response to your prayers, it's not because God is unwilling. It's because you and I are not yet ready. Some things take time, like great art or fine wine. We have to cooperate. How do we do that? Two ways that we do that. First of all, we receive God's grace. Secondly, we have to purify our souls actively. First of all, everything's a grace. How do we receive God's blessings? We just receive them, right? And even before you ask for God to help, do you know that you've already received the grace to ask in the first place? God always, and I mean always, takes the initiative. But you have to receive that grace, right? You can reject it. Second thing that we have to do, we have to actively purify ourselves and our souls. A little image that I find helpful to explain this. Imagine a soldier in a field. Let's pretend like it's Vietnam, okay? And he's been wounded. He needs help. He needs to be evacuated, get to a hospital, ASAP. A helicopter comes to his rescue. But before that helicopter can land, somebody has to clear the ground and give it a place to land. That's something of an image for God's grace and our cooperation. You know, like a helicopter coming to a soldier in need. There's absolutely nothing we can possibly do on our own to receive God's saving help. It's just a flat-out gift. But it can't be received if there's stuff in the way. You have to clear out a place for that grace to land. This is where we pray, and this is where we do penance, and as evidenced here in the gospel today, one of the most important ways we cooperate is we have to persevere. We have to persevere in God's service, just like this woman did here in the gospel. I wish we could all go to heaven for putting in just one good day. Wouldn't that be great? Put in one good day, go straight to heaven. Doesn't work that way. Why do we have to persevere? Because perseverance brings us out of ourselves. That's why. And we have very little idea just how into ourselves we all are. One great way to understand perseverance is to think about the Israelites as they're wandering through the desert. They didn't enter into the desert first day. They had to persevere and persevere and persevere. And in the process of doing so, they were espoused to God. They began to know how great God's love was for them. They began to truly be one people in the Lord. They began to be true brothers and sisters. And their desire for what God wanted to give them deepened and deepened. That's what perseverance does for us, right? That's why it's so important that we persevere and continue each and every day. A little thought for you then for those times in which your prayers are met with silence. It's not always that God isn't willing. Very often it's because you and I are not yet ready. So let us persevere then, as this woman here in the gospel did, that Jesus might say to us what he said to her, "Great is your faith, let it be done for you as you ask." Amen.